Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Phil and Blake are back, and we are digging deeper into episode number 7 of Survivor 46. I didn't say Survivor Specialist. Blake, I guess you're a specialist at this point, right? If you can dance and move the way you're moving and dancing right now.
I feel special.
You certainly are, man. Not many people can move and groove the way you are. So here we are. We're ready to do this. We've kind of been like every other week with these. We will be next week as well. It's just kind of been a kind of, when can we fit it in? Does it make sense? I'd like to do these every week when we get into season 47, but we don't even know what season 47 is going to look like. Today, we are going to be focusing on human moments and new era casts. So if you haven't checked out our other episodes in this series, you should go check them out. We talk about, do Survivor fans even want villains, which the answer was no originally, but a specific type of villain named Venus people are definitely into. So that works. And then we also talked about playing with your idols and gambling with them. We talked about that with Troyzan. And what was the other topic we had, Blake?
Just vibing.
Just vibing. We were just vibing.
Yeah,
we were
I think just it was just vibe with the crew, you know?
We were just vibing with the crew. That is not what our topic was. But that's what Blake thinks the topic was. So now that is what the topic was. But anyway, today we're going to be talking about human moments and how new era casts contribute to them. This was something that I had wanted to talk about, the split tribals and why they insist on doing them in the new era. Lost votes equals lost drama. That's what we talked about. But in this one, I really do. It's something where I want to talk about the split tribals, but then I decided I would save that for the patrons, and I put that onto my after show, which I've already posted today. So if you're a patron, go ahead and go listen to that. My thing is, I feel like that is the hot pressing topic coming out of this, but the human moments are important because we saw what happened with Kenzie and Ben last night, and it might be what ultimately saved Ben. But what I really need to focus on here is how the new era cast contributes to them and all of this. And I want to pull this. This is from Entertainment Weekly. Dalton Ross wrote this. And this is from, he is commenting on Jeff Probst, on fire with Jeff Probst last night. So I'm just going to read this off, and then we're going to have this discussion and we're going to dive in. Are you ready for this?
I'll read it. I like reading stuff.
You want to read it?
Yeah.
All right. Read it from when asked by Wolf. Start from there.
Yeah. When asked by Wolf what was so different 15 years ago, Probst elaborated and also explained why many of the players that were on earlier seasons of Survivor would not make it in the new era of the program. Number one, casting the types of people we are putting on the show, the host says in what terms of what has changed. A lot of players, and this is not any disrespect, but there are players from 15 years ago we would not even interview today. They were perfect for that time, but today we want more emotional depth that you understand and have compassion for people. And that's what we just saw. For Probst, having a different type of contestant feeds into the new tone of Survivor. Our storytelling is aligned with that. Our emphasis has shifted from just a pure game approach of who will be voted out tonight to a much more complex and emotionally layered adventure and life experience.
All right. So the first portion of that, I think, is what the main topic of this podcast is going to be, which is the human moments in the new era casts. And, you know, he's talking about 15 years ago. There's people that we wouldn't even interview now. And that's almost making it feel like the human moments weren't happening. This last quote here is the biggest hunk of bullshit ever uttered in the history of Survivor production. Our storytelling is aligned with that. Our emphasis has shifted from just a pure game approach of who will be voted out tonight to a much more complex and emotionally layered adventure and life experience. Like, we are doing Every Season Matters. Did they really give a shit who was being voted out in the first five seasons of the show?
I mean, that was literally like 10% of the show. And it was like in the 20% of the show tops. And it was all at the end.
And it got excessive in the 20s and 30s, where it seemed like once idols became the big part of this game, it seemed like that's all that we were focusing on. But to sit here and act like now all of a sudden we're telling a deeper, more meaningful story. In season 41, 42, 43, 44, it was all about who's getting voted out tonight, who's getting voted out tonight, who's getting voted out tonight. The only reason it's changed with 45 and 46 is because it's 90-minute episodes. Right. And that's a fact. Like, you cannot tell me that the other new era seasons aren't focusing on who's going home tonight. That's the focus. That has been too much of the focus of so much Survivor since season 20, season 19. Really, Russell Hantz kind of broke it and made it so that became the ultimate focal point. What about Coach Ben Wade? Was that focused on who's going home tonight, or was that focused on the adventure and the life experience when he's out there in his whole boot episode, which is the greatest episode in Survivor history? You know what I'm saying? Like, so this just really rubbed, this one really, really, really rubbed me the wrong way a lot.
I think if you're going to say a random year as well, like pick, Survivor's been on for 20 some years. If you pick one random year, don't have it be the year where you guys did casting based on race. Like, don't be like, 15 years ago, exactly.
15 years ago would put it at
30 seasons ago. So, like,
no, because you have the year, you're a year off. So, it's actually 2009 was Samoa, and then 2010 was Heroes versus Villains. So, that was that cycle. So, you're talking, so 15 years ago, you're saying Token Cheens and Samoa were bad casting decisions? They didn't have human moments?
Right. Or it gets into China and Micronesia, which are the two most beloved seasons back to back ever.
Like, maybe you could say Gabon didn't have compassion. I think that's a fair statement. Maybe Jeff was using round numbers and he meant we're not going to cast Randy, Corinne, and Sugar anymore. But
I think what's frustrating for Jeff Probst is you can't just say bullshit on the internet. Like, especially when your life has been so public and your show has been so public. There has never been an era of Survivor where people have go, we don't know how the sausage is made. Like, people came off of the show, went on the daily or went on the morning show the next day and was like, here's what really happened. We've had tell-alls from all kinds of people. We've had, here's how my casting thing went. It's not that their NDAs have been broken. It's that their NDAs for 10 years have now run out and they can say the whole process of it. So we know that people, like, do you think Johnny Fairplay was put on the show because he's a bad example. Let me do a real one. Like, the emotional depth from the first 10 seasons is crazy. Of like, Ian from Plow is literally breaking down so close to $1 million because he doesn't want two random people to think he doesn't have morals. That would never happen ever again in the new era. Like, what are we talking about? Like, you can't just say stuff when you have 25 years of articles written, things filmed, and even interviews from yourself that are just contradicting everything you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I think there was an interesting thing recently on Twitter where it was like, Jeff Probst 8 years ago saying, Fiji's one of the worst spots we've ever been to. I hated that we're in Fiji. And now it's like, Fiji's great. And it's like, oh, well, he went to the other side of the island. Oh, well, we got a good deal from the whatchamacallit. It's like, even the most minute things, you've said so much, Jeff, that you're going to start contradicting yourself like crazy. But this one is just so egregious that I would hope somebody who loves Survivor brand new and started watching it in the new era, like, I hope they don't go back to old seasons and go, oh, I thought this was going to be boring game bot shit, when that doesn't happen until like season 20 something.
It happened with like Russell breaks. I always say this with Survivor. Russell breaks Survivor. He does. And he's amazing TV. 19 and 20, I think, are very, I mean, 20 obviously is revered, but I know people now in retrospect don't like 19. I think 19 is incredibly entertaining. You have to remember at that time, we'd never seen anything like that at all. And then you get into the 21, which was just a mess. There's no game bots in that season because I don't know what the hell they were doing. 22, nobody was thinking. They just put up probably the worst cast they ever put up. And then 23, it started to get back into the game bots. Albert and Sophie, they're pretty damn game body. 24, Kim, pretty game body. But that season was also cast a little bit differently because it was a bunch of hot people. It was One World. They were trying to make that like a dating show. 25, though, Denise. She's pretty game body. I mean, she's a great social player, but it's pretty game body. The thing is that I guess the point that I'm trying to make with this is I agree with what you're saying. Jeff, there's too much knowledge out there. And I talked about this on the Patreon today. I said, Jeff is going to say that whatever is happening now is the best thing Survivor's ever done. It's called being a good hype man for your show. You are promoting your show. That's what you have to do. So I take everything with a grain of salt. Because look, at the end of the day, I like Jeff. I really do. I know a lot of people at this point have gotten to the point where they say, we hate you, Jeff. We're tired of you, Jeff. I'm not in that boat. I like Jeff. I am a fan of Jeff. I think Jeff has done great things. He is the host of the show that I love more than anything else. However, when he says things like this, when he makes blanket statements of, if you're not getting a callback, it's because you're not interesting. 679 people have played Survivor, Jeff, and one of them was Zoe Xanadakis. So guess what? There's a lot of people who are more interesting than people you've put on Survivor. I hate to be like that, but like, don't give me this bullshit. And I think that's what frustrates me. And then what happens is these new era casts, which I have met a lot of people from the new era casts, and I like a good majority of them. I really do. But what happens is Jeff says these things. It gets the old school people being like, Jeff's a dumbass. It gets the new era people getting inflated egos because they're the new ones and they're who Jeff is talking about positively. But remember, Jeff also said Russell Hantz was the greatest casting decision they ever made back in 2009. So for all of you new era people who are patting yourselves on the back, just remember how quickly things can change in the grand scheme of reality television. When these blanket statements are being made, what is the purpose of these blanket statements? What is the purpose? I understand when you're promoting your show and you're trying to do better, you want people to watch. But if you are going to make statements about your fan base is boring, and that's why because they're not self-aware. I might make a casting video where I sit there and say, you all are casting losers on the show, and I don't understand why you're doing it, and you need better casting decisions. That doesn't mean I'm not self-aware. I know exactly what I'm doing. You just don't like being criticized is what the problem is. Right. And you can sit there and say, oh, well, we don't want that type of person on the show anymore. Well, Venus Vaffa has something different to say about that. And she might be the best casting decision you've made in the new era. So I throw my hands up and I say that. I know we're going to talk about human moments, but there's this belief that you only have to cast good people to have human moments. That is not true. And there are human moments that can be had from villains. Boston Rob falling down saying, this is getting the best of me. Right. I mean, are you kidding me? He's the biggest gaslighter. I talked about this on a TikTok on our Deal or No Deal Island. He's the biggest gaslighter in the history of reality TV. And you have him having a human moment. You have his moments with Amber when he plays Winners at War. What, you wouldn't call Boston Rob now?
Right. And I think human moment doesn't mean just all puppy dogs and rainbows. It's like Jake getting so close to $1 million last season, getting frustrated and breaking the challenge, and Jeff being like, hey, man, fuck you, dude. Like, yeah. Like that's his version of a human moment. And you know that was going to happen. And like, it's just something where 30 years later, when you say, what's your favorite thing about Survivor? We're going to go certain things. I don't know if we go, I saw Kinsey help Ben through a panic attack. That was my favorite moment of the show. And like, if that is true for you,
what's the best human moment from the first four seasons? What's the one that stands out? Or there's two great human moments from the first four seasons.
I mean, Kimmy Kappenberg and Alicia Calloway getting up in each other's faces.
That's not the one I was. In a positive way. What's the best human moments in a positive way? Maybe you're not thinking what I am, but that's okay. I can answer it.
Also, like, this is up to interpretation from every person's individual.
So the two though that I think stand out the most.
Go for it.
Or when Mike Scoopin falls in the fire and how everybody reacts to that. I mean, I think that's a human moment, and you see, I can't see Elizabeth. And there's Elizabeth and Roger, and you have Roger and Nick having to be the heroes in this situation. You have Varner who has to come over and help. These are humans reacting to a situation where somebody's hurt. And the other one that I think is probably one of the best moments of the first 10 seasons is when Kathy pees on John Carroll's hand.
True.
That's a human moment. There's an injured person over there. Pascal whips it on out, isn't able to perform under pressure. And now Kathy has to come over and squat. That is awesome TV. Those are human moments. That might be a human moment in a different way than staying up with somebody late into the night. But those are human moments, and people still talk about those. Maybe we talk about them a little bit more, but the reactions to the falling in the fire, people absolutely still talk about. And that peeing on the hand thing could be something they bring up every single season if they want to. They just elect not to. So for me, the human moments have always been there. I'm happy for Kenzie and Ben. Look, I really am. I am appreciative that with 90-minute episodes, we're getting these. Will said last night on the podcast, and I'll shoot him down because he's not here to defend himself, that they would have shown this no matter what, whether Kenzie or Ben win or whether they don't win. They would have shown this no matter what. But the truth of the matter is, from seasons 30 to 39, they wouldn't have. This would have just been totally brushed under the rug, and they would have ended up taking this. They would have put it out as a secret scene and said, oh, one castaway suffers from an anxiety attack and another bonds with them over it. And that would have been it. They wouldn't even made this into the cut. So it's the illusion that there haven't been human moments. I'd love to hear from the casts of 30 to 39 about all the human moments that were going on out there that weren't shown because in the 45 minutes, they elected to show people looking for idols instead.
Right. I think here's one thing that is always bad in the background.
This is the real Survivor, obviously. Season 30 to 39 was not 90 minutes.
Oh, correct. That is the real Survivor. Thank you, CBS. One thing that I think is always in the back of my head, that if you're 30-some years old and you've been watching since you've been 12, maybe you're not supposed to watch the same TV show for 25 years. That's maybe you're supposed to grow. Maybe you're supposed to find new shows that itch your brain in a different way. Maybe you're not supposed to host shows for 25 years. Maybe you're not supposed to executive produce shows for 25 years. But with this post-pandemic, post-strike world, everyone has to hold on to whatever job, hold on to whatever joy they have. And you and I would love for 46 to be Marquesas number 42, but this is a different show for a different audience that I'm not part of anymore.
Yeah.
And
are you not enjoying this season because of that? Like, I'm enjoying I think the last three episodes have been great.
I'm just saying Jeff Probst can lie to this new audience because they weren't there 22 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff Probst can't lie to me. And Jeff Probst wants new viewers and know that Jeff Probst wants new viewers and knows that the old guard isn't going to go anywhere. We would have gone somewhere already. The 35-year-old people talking into microphones. I'm not 35, but like,
neither am I.
The Rob has a podcast isn't going to go anywhere. They could literally put they could put 12 Banus on a show. Me just saying that out loud made Banu Island he's going to be a team captain in 2 years, probably. And like
him and Jess coming back, baby.
The one thing that I really don't enjoy is the idea of it's a more complex and emotionally layered adventure and life experience.
That's the biggest lie, dude. It's so far away from that.
Right. And like, if you had that mindset, we wouldn't have idols in cages. We wouldn't be saying fake idol names across tribal lines to get stuff. We wouldn't be losing votes. Losing votes is not layered. The layers come in from conflict from our players and how their votes interact with each other and their intricacies or whatever. I don't know. It's bullshit because the idea of Liz doesn't like soda. Everyone knows that. We don't know that as the audience. That was said on the screen in the merge episode. And you're just like, what are we talking about? And now Liz is very okay with voting out soda tonight, last night. And it's like, what happened to make that rift where she's willing to like lose a member of her thing and just say goodbye? And like the emotional layer of the shit is Banu and Jess. And they were gone in the first month. So what's left? We have a bunch of underdeveloped people that I can't emotionally connect with really, because I know one bullet point about each of them that isn't really fleshed out. And like, if Ben had said, if he had a confessional in the first 10 minutes of like, I have anxiety, but this is the coolest thing I've ever done, and I'm just hoping to get as far in the game before my body betrays me and I start getting anxiety in the middle of the night or something, then it's like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. But I know Ben as, this is a really fun dude who talks about those things rocking, which is sick. I love that he's got a bunch of really cool bands that he can say a bunch of stuff. He's a musician himself. But in all of this 2 months of Ben, there was never something that was complex or emotionally layered. Mm-hmm. And like, now it pops out of nowhere and you're like, see, this is what New Survivor is all about. And you're just like, this is not an emotional layer. This is a dollop of emotion.
And then they throw in, here's the other thing. Then they throw in the hotline at the end of this, and they threw it in at the end of the episode, not after Ben actually had the anxiety attack. So when that happened, I actually sat there and I was like, wait, weird. I was like, did something happen to Soda that I didn't know about? Like, did something happen to her like legitimately in real life? Because it felt like it should have been related. I mean, cause you know, you think about when the Varner incident happened, they threw up, you know, you can go here, here, and here to support whoever. And that made sense because it was right after this traumatic event. And I think about when Terry Dietz's son had his heart problem. Terry goes on and they put up after Terry went home. He's sitting there with his son doing the last words. And then it says, if you want to donate, donate here. This was so out of nowhere. And it just felt too out of left field. And like, oh, we were supposed to remember that
was a while ago. Honestly crazy of like the disconnect of like, I think the other thing that's blowing my mind about the Jeff stuff is he's doing individual calls to casting calls after every episode of like, that was absolutely crazy that we split people into things and then only half of them are safe. Come join our adventure. Go do this now. And you're like,
yeah, if this is about the adventure, why are we splitting into 2 tribes of 6 after we merge? And why are we doing mergatory? That's not about the adventure at all. That's about gaming it as much as you possibly can.
And here's the thesis statement coming back around. Like, some people don't have creative enough ideas for 25 years of doing the same show. And Jeff's not going anywhere. And so I think it's easier for someone to convince you the show is good instead of putting in a full effort into making sure the show is the best idea. Like, we're not getting new challenges that are going to wow our people at home. We're not getting new location because it's hard. Like, the cast is looking at a cast bio, you already know kind of how they're going to be playing because you've seen 15 of them like this already. And like, I think it's just interesting how people consume the show of you hate it so much. You're going on Twitter to say how much you hate it. You'll be back next week.
Yeah.
We've never had a thing happen on the show where like, and then a million people didn't watch the next week. Like,
Honestly, the highest viewed episode we have outside of Winners at War as a recap episode is after the Zeke Varner incident. Which that's how crazy this stuff is, right?
It's they don't have to do anything. They don't have to, once again, say the line. They don't have to make a more complex, emotionally layered adventure and life experience. Mm-hmm. They don't have to. That we're going to watch no matter what. Jeff's just saying this to get more people to watch. Because if you read this article, you're like, I've heard the new season of Survivor is pretty good. I'm going to watch now. It's already too late. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you watch right now, I think there's other thing. Let's talk more positive about the thing I did like on this emotional moment was like Tiffany and Kinsey talking about Q. And like, yeah. Q is overbearing and feels like he's the coach. And we've had moments where Q is coaching people through Survivor. And like, I think that's something where that's a layered thing of they have been best friends with this man. They have been best allies with this man, but he's starting to drive them crazy. And now when Q probably doesn't make it to Final Five, we're going to have a reason for his elimination. Whenever Tiffany of all people or Kinsey of all people vote him out, we're not going to go. We never saw that happen. Like,
yeah,
but people can get out of the way. Like, why do we have 90-minute episodes and we're still wondering, like, what is the interaction between this? And like last night we had an hour to talk about two votes and none of that came down to emotions. It came down to like,
you don't think Ben was kept because of emotional connection. You think Tim ultimately went home because he was more threatening from a strategic.
I think Tim went home because Q saw him not want to give up Ben. And maybe there's some emotional there of like Sega is so strong together and they love each other so much that Tim is not doing the Sandra anyone but me strategy and goes home because he's so close to Ben. But I've never seen a Tim and Ben thing on TV where Tim and Ben go fishing together, talk about life. Dude, I haven't met someone like you before, Ben, but I'll always remember you. Like, that's the thing I need to pretend that last night was emotionally connected.
Yeah, because then when he's singing Brotherly Love in his ear, I was like, where'd that come from?
No shot. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And like, oh, they're all doing salsa. Oh, they're all doing whatever. Like, we've seen those moments, but it wasn't like Ben and Tim were dancing together. Like, I don't know how ridiculous I'm being with my wants right now, but you're filming 24 hours a day for 14 days so far. Like, how is there not anything to make this emotionally layered connection? And it's just something where sometimes you don't have it, but I don't think you can go on this magazine or this online article and say this if not,
this was his podcast. Yeah.
Like, okay, his podcast that like on a podcast, you can just say shit. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just saying shit. If someone put all my podcasts together and go, this is where you said you love the show. This is where you said you shouldn't watch the show after 25 years. This is where you show this show is better than ever. And like each individual thing meant something at every point. But Jeff Probst is the host. And it's just something where when you're saying this, I need to be like, yes, that makes sense. Instead of being like, no, when have we ever had an emotionally layered adventure and life experience in the new era? Like, what are we talking about?
No, I get it. And one thing that I always think about with this, right? Like, Jeff's been doing this for 25 years. So I always kind of go back to like the United. This is a weird analogy, but it's the one that I always think about whenever you get into something where it feels like, okay, how did it get to this point? Is like the US as a country, right? We have one president for 50 states, and Hawaii is what, 2,000 miles off the coast of California.
Right.
And so I've lived in New Jersey. I went to school at University of Miami. I've lived in California. I now live in Florida. I'm currently recording this podcast from North Carolina. I've been to 38 of the 50 states. For one person to be in control of all of that is a lot, right? Right. Like, that's a lot. There's different personalities. There's different needs. There's different everything depending on where you live, how you live, all that stuff. There's different stuff that's needed. I'm not talking about the social aspect. I'm talking about just like financially, economically, whatever. Like, there's different things that are important to different people depending on where they are. And why I make this comparison is because Jeff, now think about how the US has changed over the last 25 years. So since 2000, when it was, it went from Clinton to Bush as the presidents. Think about how the U.S. has now changed into 2024. Survivor's been on that long.
Right.
That is how long Survivor has been on the air. And you pretty much have one person who's in control of it. And what it is he's trying to make a show that is for a big portion of this gigantic country that has different viewpoints all around the entire country. And it's almost like you get to a point where how do you keep everybody happy? Well, you can't. It's really hard to do that. So you start focusing on one particular point of it that you're going to make happy. And I just think that maybe Survivor, with the longevity that it has attached to it, has it become like the US where it isn't, it doesn't feel like, I don't know, it just doesn't, it feels like it's unmanageable at this point. Because even when now people will be like, you don't remember this from this episode? I used to remember every single detail of every single Survivor episode always. And now I don't. I can't remember. I forgot last night that Jem was voted out three episodes ago. Because it's just like, it doesn't resonate with me as much as it used to. And so it's the same thing, right? Like when now you look at Jeff and he's talking, like you said, he can't trick us people who've been around since the very beginning, but he can trick the new audiences. And it's this whole feeling of, because Jeff has been the head honcho for this long, when he says it, we roll our eyes, but newer people might not, because they don't necessarily realize how much smoke he is kind of blowing up people's asses at this point. Because it's so Survivor is just so many seasons. And I would almost guarantee you that if 5 million people watch every week, 2 million of them at least have not seen every season of Survivor.
Right. I mean,
so Jeff can get away with it a little bit more. So more that's just like a weird analogy to bring it back to kind of like just like the US and politics and all of that, where it's like it has become too big. Jeff has become too big. And so how do you stop it? How do you get it back to its roots? And how do you actually start to say things and do things that, I don't know, just feel relevant, truthful, whatever. It just feels like it's gotten unmanageable.
I think I love analogies. I can do one more of what we're saying of like the idea of movies aren't what they used to be. Like if you started watching movies right now because you're 10 years old, you're probably like, holy crap, the new stuntman movie starring
the Fall Guy,
like my favorite video game. The Fall Guy being Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. That could be your favorite movie as a 10-year-old because you went into that was your first movie you saw with your grandpa. You never fell in love with cinema. There's a 10-year-old who's going into the movie theater to watch The Fall Guy and falling in love. I shouldn't have watched it. It's 5 years before. It's not PG-13. Like, but anybody who's seen 40 years of movies is not going to say The Fall Guy is their favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
And The Fall Guy, the person who says The Fall Guy is my favorite movie, whoever in their life that's also dialed into cinema or films, as we say, I like saying movies, that's dialed into movies is going to be like, watch these other 500 movies that are super good. And if you like The Fall Guy, you'll also like these. And then that person who watched The Fall Guy may say for years, The Fall Guy is my sentimental fave. But now that I know more about film, I would say Lego Batman's my favorite, but like, or just like other actual movies from the 1970s and 1960s when it's the heyday. Some people are at the finest of their craft, blah, blah, blah. All those classic films, they're going to go, this is whatever. So if you're a brand new Survivor watcher from the last 4 years of I just started watching during pandemic, I love this new era season.
Yeah.
It's so good. I just haven't watched all the old ones. Maybe I'll go back. Maybe the next time I have knee surgery, I'll start watching all of them. And then like when you do go back, I want to like reach out to us, write in this comments. Obviously, you're not going to do that 5 years from now, but reach out to this podcast and be like, I was just a new era watcher. And when I went back, here's what happened when I viewed them.
And
did I like them way more? Or no, I'm a new era Survivor fan.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like, you know, just to like wrap this analogy up so we can move on. And I want to read some of these comments that have been listed here. But, you know, that's like when a movie like I don't know, Elvis gets made and it gets nominated for Best Picture. And you got people being like, oh my God, Elvis is so amazing. And so many, how many, go watch Moulin Rouge. Have you seen Moulin Rouge? That's a more interesting musical than Elvis. Like, have you seen Moulin Rouge? Same director. You probably haven't though, if you're 10, 15 years old, maybe you haven't gone back and seen Moulin Rouge. So go watch it. And I think that's where we've seen a lot of this stuff before in movies. That's why newer movies have a harder time getting up into the upper echelon of people like you and me, because we've seen it. We saw the early 2000s, the late 90s when indie film really started to take over and it really was groundbreaking. That's the same thing with Survivor. Human moments, this isn't new. This is not new. What happened between Ben and Kenzie last night is not new. So I just need to wrap that up. But here, let's do some comments. Jason Mertz. Most of these human moments are predetermined before they go on the island. They cast people with trauma and reverse engineer these moments. Blake, what is that? What reaction are you giving there?
One of my favorite things, I've met a lot of people watching Survivor from online fan communities. Somebody from South Carolina, Melanie. She is someone, she has grandkids. She says one of the most things that has stuck with me forever of when you go on the island, you can't hide who you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you're gonna, if you're angry, if you get annoyed with people, if you're a very happy person, if you're someone who rushes into the face of danger, if you're a coach, like, when you're hungry as hell 4 days in, you go direct. Like, you, we say, I would go on Survivor and I wouldn't let that BS bother me. I don't know how they're getting into arguments over where to place the bamboo fronds. And everyone goes into that moment doing that. And then the human moment of being starving and being like, I'm going to murder you. Like, that's what comes out. Like, they cast these people with trauma and reverse engineer these moments. It's just like, no, we're casting people that have more proclivities to get into arguments and then starving them within an inch of their life and also putting $1 million in front of them. And they're all going to yell at each other until the cows come home.
Because I've had panic attacks before, but I feel like I could go play Survivor. Like, I might have, I don't feel like I would have this type of moment, but I feel like I could absolutely play Survivor, you know? So I feel like the reverse engineering thing, I think it happens sometimes. I think when you're watching the first couple episodes of a season and they're talking about, oh, this is how I grew up and this is what my backstory is. Yeah. Those are the kind of faked, those are the predetermined human moments. Those are the ones that Survivor and CBS want to make sure they get in. But I think right. In terms of what Ben had happened last night, I think that was just kind of like a freak thing. Although and Jeff said medical came out to check on him, which medical coming out to check on somebody for a panic attack, I feel like it's kind of crazy. That's just my opinion.
I mean, I think one thing that maybe that person who wrote that comment, maybe one thing that does make sense is if you say, oh, I'm the boss bitch of my workplace and I get into arguments, they're going to want you to show that side on the island. But they're not going to be like, let's put her on the tribe with this angry man that we know they're going to fight. Mm-hmm. It's more of everyone's getting on the show on their own merit instead of like, oh, if we put these two people on the show, that one moment where we can get 15 minutes of footage isn't going to get someone on the show. Like it's a whole, that's not how casting works. You have to be good every minute of every day almost, and most of the people can't be good every minute of every day. But like, another human moment that I love that people were like angry about last night a little bit was like Maria being like, get the fuck out of my face, Venus.
Yeah.
Like, you came to me like demanding things and saying stuff. I have immunity. I don't care at all, to be honest. Like, if Charlie goes, Charlie goes, but I know that's not what's going to happen, but you need to talk to me in a more respectful way. I'm putting words in people's mouths, but it was kind of like interesting of, I know I saw some people being like, oh, I hate Maria for that now. How dare she talk to Venus that way? Like, it seems like she's gaslighting a player that has less.
Yeah. Power it seems than like Venus has been problematic for a lot of people on her season. So at some point you have to say, I said this last night, at some point you have to say, hey, maybe Venus is actually the one who's rubbing people the wrong way, because right. Maria only talked to her for 2 or 3 days. It's not like she's coming in loving the other Namis and being like, oh my God, Venus is the worst. I'm pretty sure Maria is making her own decisions. And honestly, I think it was pretty telling. I think you're right. It is a human moment because it's Maria trying to help Venus. And then what's Venus's initial reaction is to say, oh, I think it's just Maria's ego getting in the way. We haven't seen Maria have this type of argument with anybody up to this point in the game.
Right.
So I don't think it's Maria's ego getting in the way, but if that's how Venus is going to perceive it, then maybe that makes sense. I saw a tweet last night from David Bloomberg, and I actually thought this was a phenomenal tweet. And I want to bring this one up because I think it relates to what we're talking about a little
bit. And who's Bloomberg for the people at home?
He does YX Lost with Jessica Lewis.
Gotcha.
Let me see if I can find it. OJ Simpson died today, so that's eating up a lot of people's timelines.
Oh
here.
My gosh.
What
a human moment for him.
What a human moment for OJ Simpson.
Jesus.
Where is it? Okay, so this is his tweet. This was 15 hours ago. Probably one of the best tweets David Bloomberg's ever had. I think I'm now on board with Venus being a zero vote finalist. It would explain why she still seems to have misconceptions about what happened in the game. She didn't spend time in Ponderosa with other jurors finding out info. That's my current hypothesis. And he tweeted this pretty much immediately after Maria and Venus had this conversation. We talked, you didn't get to talk about it with me, but I had talked about it for the Patreon and all that stuff of Venus on her Twitter rant last week. And it was a rant. I mean, and then it was funny because then she comes out the next day and says, "Stop sending hate to my castmates. That's not what I'm about." But if you go read her rant, it's like, what did you think was going to happen? And again, I am very entertained by Venus. I'm sure if I met Venus in real life, I would get along with her. Unless maybe she's listening to this saying, "Fuck you, dude. Like, you don't know who I am." I don't. But I do know what I'm seeing on the internet. And that's the perception that you're putting out to everybody. Some people are going to sit there. For everybody on the internet who's sitting there saying, "Wow, Venus is great," there's going to be other people too who say, "I don't know why she's doing this." And so I think that's a great tweet from Bloomberg, because it does feel like, based on what we saw with Venus and her interaction with Maria last night, it doesn't necessarily seem like she grew from that based on what we're seeing on social media right now. She doesn't have to. I'm just saying that is a human moment, but that's a human moment that goes the opposite direction. Is Venus somebody Jeff regrets casting? Because if she is, he's an idiot.
I also think it was so interesting seeing Tevin be like, "No, it was me. Oh, no." And that being like his human moment as Soda goes out of like, he wants to take ownership of this vote in front of her because she's about to go to the jury. But like, he didn't actually vote her, I think, is an interesting thing. Like, if, and let's say the line one more time, Bart, here we go. If this is a much complex and emotionally layered adventure and life experience, I wonder if Tevin explaining the vote and how he's going to try and take ownership of this for the other five people that weren't involved in it, and if the other people do, maybe that's where the mixture of the gameplay and the inner thing can come in. If you just do, Tevin talks to Q about it one time, and now it's time for the show.
Yeah.
And like, I think the other thing that we talked about some hypocrisy, or maybe that's not the right word, but like, Jeff has been contradictory over the years. And guess what? The intro is back in 46 for the first time in years.
After we didn't have time board, it wasn't good.
And,
yeah.
And we literally said, please put the intro in forever. And you can go back to every single time where Jeff goes, "I don't want to put the intro. I'd rather put in a 20-second snippet of an emotional moment." And now, I don't know if it was ever said like, "You bitches complained so much, we finally put it back in." Or if it's like, "No, I find some merit into it." But like, that's just one example that's always in the back of my mind of the intro was out and now it's back in. So Jeff, when he says this stuff, I don't know if he truly believes it. Is he lying to himself? Is he lying to the fan base?
He's just promoting the show and saying whatever's happening in the show right now is the perfect version of the show.
Right.
That's what he does.
Right. And so is that a human moment for Jeff?
No, it is not. Let's throw up some more comments here. Bailey Ross, just watched the episode in Australia, so it's delayed for me. Great app, even though I usually hate double eliminations. If Survivor is to be a true microcosm of the world, then there should be at least some boring or normal people on there. I think boring is the wrong word, but there's air quotes in here. Normal, I think, is important, though. Johnny Fairplay was going off about how Ben's not good TV. I totally disagree with that. And I disagree with Charlie being not good TV. But that's like, in Fairplay's mind, those are bad TV because they're not ultimate heroes or ultimate villains. I do think, though, there has to be some middle ground in these shows. And I actually think this cast has done a good job of being the middle ground, which, though, is what's funny to me. You can't have everybody be the middle ground, though. And I do feel like for some of the seasons, and I'm not saying that these people were boring, but I think they were almost casting too normal, which is why it felt game body in the new era.
It's just something where I still watch Survivor. I still enjoy someone when someone gets blindsided. It was interesting seeing Soda go from, oh, she's a great, we put some breadcrumbs. She's a great social player. I think it's always hilarious when it's like, it's final 12. She had to go.
Yeah.
If we let her get to final,
like, 10, Soda was going to go on a massive immunity run.
What are you
and
fucking
just
talking about? Like, yeah. And these decisions are going to backfire for at least one player, especially who goes home 10th, who goes home 9th. But like, seeing Soda get blindsided and take her time on her way out was a really cool moment of everyone else gets the hell out of there. And it goes, I hope you get eaten by a freaking crocodile, but Soda is taking a moment and like, really, like, this was a cool thing. I'm glad I did this. Ultimately, I'm sad I lost. It was like, I thought she was going to be her persona that they had made in the game did not go with her final words, her way out. And this was like a whole nother side of Soda. And it was like, oh, if this person comes back or if this person was on the island, I would have loved to see more moments like this from her.
Yeah, I agree. I really enjoyed Soda. And I thought Soda was, you know, it was a good exit for sure. But again, Soda and having this emotional moment, Tim also had one as he was walking out. He was already down the trail, but he started having an emotional moment.
Right.
Like, good. These are things, but you can't act like this stuff wasn't happening in
this was past layered. Season.
Yeah, like this isn't something, this is brand new. But let me see if I can find some other comments here. I know Squilliam and Denver Morgan and HJBAU are just going in on each other here in the comments. So I'm not going to read their entire back and forth. Let's see. I think we're okay. I think
you guys are killing my favorite comment was the time where I was like, you're not supposed to watch the same show for 25 years. It's not for you anymore. Somebody was like, quit calling us out like that. It's something where it's like, did you play Pokemon for 25 years? Well, I played for maybe 15 and like, I'll check in every once in a while. What have you done for 25? You cheer for your favorite sports team for 25 years.
But I think that's how Survivor should be viewed. I think it should be viewed as almost a sports league. Every year it comes back and you're excited to see who's going to play.
We need a new head coach, bro.
We do need a new. I don't disagree with that. And that's, again, I think like human moments, they've always been there. This isn't new. I think the new era, I think the 90-minute episodes is making it so that we can see them a little bit more.
Right.
But
we're getting the there. Hard knocks behind the scenes and we're like,
yeah,
oh, he truly has no idea what's going on.
Yeah. This is not Denver Morgan says he still plays a new Pokemon when they release the new one.
Hell yeah, Denver Morgan.
There you go. But yeah, I think like, you know, that's enough. I think we covered it. I think we covered the topic, human moments in the new era cast. What do you guys think? Obviously the people who are in the comments here, I know what you think. I can read it, but like this video, subscribe to the channel, leave some comments, let us know how you feel about this. Is it, and really, how do you as Survivor fans, and obviously we're talking to our fan base, but you as Survivor fans, how do you feel about some of the comments that Jeff has been making at the Survivor community? Am I being a little baby about it? Am I being a little bitch? Look, I've met Jeff. Jeff was incredibly nice. I got to meet him at the EW Pop Fest, and Blake filmed the video of me and Will competing in the challenge with Jeff. Jeff is a very nice guy. Jeff's a salesman. He needs to be. But is he going too far when he starts taking the digs at the fan base in the way that he is? That's what I'm questioning here. Like, and if Jeff, and he's not going to listen to this podcast, but if he ever listened to this podcast, if you ever heard these, whatever, it's not Jeff, you suck. It's Jeff, why are you coming at the fan base? That's what I'm confused about. And why is it you're not interesting enough, or you're not this, or you're not that, as if I couldn't sit there the way Kenzie did when Ben woke up that way and say, Ben, I'll sit with you. Like, what's going on here? Because also, if you're going to make the argument of this Kenzie moment is exactly how we cast the new era, and this is why it's important, and the other people would never get cast. Well, there were 12 people left, and 10 of them just went right back to sleep, Jeff. 10 of them went right back to sleep while Kenzie sat up. So by your own standards here, maybe you casted the wrong people because they don't seem as empathetic as you're trying to make it out to be.
No. The other thing, as a final PSSS, anytime someone is clapping for someone after they win an immunity, vote them out at the first possible time. I swear to God, if Kinsey makes it to the end of this and people go, I just didn't see you. Like, there's a very public display at Final 12.
Q was doing that on purpose, man. I think Q might have been trying to draw a little attention to, like, hey, Kenzie's good at this game. Don't forget her.
People are happy for Kenzie when she wins an immunity. They're going to be happy for her when she wins $1 million. Vote those people out. Like, that was the first time I ever saw that was Cochran on his season he won, where people were clapping for him. And like, I never thought I would win immunity. This is a bucket list for me. And people were like, and it's like, vote their ass. Please.
Well, all right, Blake, always a pleasure. Hope everybody enjoyed this. If you want more of Blake, he's over there on our Patreon. We did the casting perspective. We released that just yesterday. We were talking about the unfun casting stuff, such as lighting, showing it to your friends, all of that. And 2 weeks ago, we talked about other audition tapes, and we kind of went down the list of all the criteria that Survivor and CBS have up. So if you're interested in hearing those conversations, if you become a $10 or $20 patron, those conversations, you can go back and listen to all the ones that Blake and I have had up to this point. So if you're ever interested in casting, there you go. That's there for you. As I said, I put out my after show today. We are now almost done with Marquesas. We only have 2 episodes left of Marquesas. So if you want to become a patron, that's where it's all at. Otherwise, go follow us on social media, like this video, subscribe to the channel. Thank you all so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Adios.